So there was a question about how person in mode of goodness is sent to heaven for more sense enjoyment. Actually, heavenly planets are not only meant for sense enjoyment. If you think so, it's a wrong notion. Because Bhulaka, Saloka, Mahaloka, if you see like that, there are the top three planetary systems are all filled with great stages. Like Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and that stages are constantly performing severe penance. That is why when there is a dissolution, the top three planetary systems are not dissolved. And those who belong to the lower higher planetary systems, when they see the cosmic dissolution, they ascend to the higher planets. There are many great rishis performing penance. So somebody in goodness may be elevated to higher planets depending on his consciousness. If he has enjoying mentality and he has performed a lot of punya, virtuous activities, then he will go for enjoying. But if he is free from such mentality, then he may go even to much higher planets where he can improve in his spiritual life. So there were many other questions, so directly go to this one very important question about Krishna. Why did Krishna ask Arjuna to kill Karna? And why did Krishna break the law? And Krishna is the giver of religious principles, isn't it? And how can Krishna himself break his law? If you read the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you will see Krishna is very much urging Arjuna to perform his duty as a Kshatriya. He is giving examples of those great kings like Janaka, Karmana Vijisan Siddhim Asita Janaka Deha, Lokasangrahme Vabi Sampashyan Kartamasasi. He says, just like the great king Janaka, although he was a perfected being, he performed his duty as a king. Still, in the same way, you also, Arjuna, you should also perform your duty. And then after that, Krishna goes on to tell about himself. That is Yaham Navarteyam Karmanya Atandrita. He says, if I don't perform my duties, then the whole world will be put to ruination. Because everyone will follow me in my footsteps, Krishna says. So Krishna tells about himself as an ideal person who sets example for the entire world. So he says, the Supreme Truth has no duty to do. Who has a duty to do? Generally one who expects or anticipate some result. Only such a person does some activity. So Krishna says, if you see the Absolute, if you see the Upanishad, he says, Natasya Karyam Karanam Savijyate. Absolute Truth has nothing to do. But still Krishna does, to set an example. He says like that. So if you read those purports, you will understand that, of course, Krishna is setting an example. But at the same time, sometimes you observe there is a discrepancy between Krishna's words and Krishna's actions. The pastimes that Krishna performed in Vrindavan, namely the Rasa Leela, or some of the activities that Krishna performed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, may apparently seem to contradict the law codes that are given in the scriptures. So people who are very strongly inclined to mundane morality may not be able to digest this fact. How is it that God behaves like this? One time a great Indian leader was asked about Krishna's Rasa Leela. He said, no. If Krishna were a Hindu God and he ever did activities like this Rasa Leela, then I feel ashamed to call myself a Hindu. He said like that, an Indian leader, very unfortunate soul. So he didn't know exactly, he didn't know that the Shastras are absolute. Krishna did dance with the gopis. It is not a lie. So you may like one part of the Shastra where Lord Ramachandra obeys his father's order, bows down and goes to the forest for 14 years. You may see Lakshmana, the brother, following Lord Ramachandra very nicely. So these things are very palatable and very sweet, suiting your need of mundane morality. So you may salute them. But at the same time, there are statements in the Shastras where we come to know that Krishna danced with the gopis. Krishna did such things in Kurukshetra war, which went against the law of a Kshatriya. So when they hear such things, they say, no, these are all not true. Maybe these are some additions. That is, they try to defend themselves by saying that these things are wrong. That is bogus. When you accept Shastra, you have to accept it in totality. But If at your side you cannot give an explanation, that doesn't mean that the Shastras are wrong. So one has to find out, seek an explanation. As I was telling you, there may be a discrepancy in Krishna's words and Krishna's action. So which should we follow? Sometimes Mayavadi say, because it is the Shastras, one must very carefully adhere to the things given in Shastra. You see that Krishna danced with the gopis, so one must very carefully follow that. So Mayavadi say that all the disciples, men and women, they tell their women that I will organize it after you all come and dance with me. There are many Mayavadi bogus gurus doing that. Once that Mayavadi rascal was caught during Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, who claimed to be Krishna and was dancing with his disciples, calling them as gopis. He was sentenced to jail, to be in the jail. So in this way, somebody may imitate the activities of Krishna, saying that we should follow them as Mukundanand Prabhu was asking. So one cannot imitate such activities given in the scriptures. If you find the discrepancy between Krishna's words and Krishna's actions, one should always follow Krishna's words. This is the verdict of Shukadeva Goswami. He says, the actions of very great personalities cannot be imitated. There is a very vivid explanation given in the Bhagavatam about this. We cannot imitate the activities of very great personalities like Lord Shiva. If you say, I will imitate Krishna's dance, why don't you imitate Krishna lifting the Govardhan Hill? Or why don't you imitate Shiva drinking poison? Shiva is called Nilakantha. Why can't you imitate that? We cannot. Or why don't we marry 16,108 wives and give them 16,000 palaces? Can you ever do that? Krishna, when he was entering Mathura, he just did like this with a singer, the tailor who didn't give him dress. And immediately the tailor's neck was cut. Because Angani is a Sakalendriya Vrittimanti. The singer can act like a knife. Can he do that? And Krishna, when he wants, he can beget a child from his navel by producing a lotus. Can we do that? And when Krishna wants, he can grant the spiritual world and pick up all the living entities and impregnate them into the material nature. Can you do that? And Krishna can be born without father and mother from a pillar, as he appears as Lord Narasimha. Can we be born like that? We have no ability to do that. So, when we talk of God, he is not like an ordinary person. First of all, when one understands who is God and what are his potencies, what are his abilities, after knowing well about the power of Supreme God, then one should hear this passage. When we talk of Mahabharata, people directly read Mahabharata without knowing the position of Krishna. First of all, one should understand the position of Krishna. Just like a mother or a father who is the well-wisher of a child will never cause any harm to the child. Always whatever they do is for the benefit of the child. Sometimes the mother may give a big slap to the child. Why are you not studying? You are playing all day. But the slap is meant for the child's welfare, so that the child can become serious in studies and have a better future. Sometimes the mother, out of great love, will embrace the child and give hundreds of kisses to the child. That is also a shower of love. In the same way, Krishna may sometimes kill a living being, like he killed Shishupala, or he killed Karna, or he killed so many other demons. In the same way, Krishna loved so many devotees and very much appreciated their association. But these two activities on the absolute plane are non-different. Because Krishna can cause no harm to anybody. It is impossible. Because he is the supreme well-wisher of every living entity. In fact, conditioned souls cannot appreciate Krishna's love for them. But pure devotees, with their pure vision, can clearly see whatever Krishna does is for the welfare of the living entity. What is best for a particular living entity, that Krishna only knows. For one, to do the best, Krishna may have to offer a rose. For another one, he may have to throw a thunderbolt. You can practically see so many examples. Like when Krishna, you see, how he favored so many devotees. He favored Vidura. He favored the Yajna Brahman's Patni, the wives of the Yajna Brahmanas. He favored them. He favored Rukmini. He favored so many devotees we see in Srimad Bhagavatam. At other places we see Krishna favoring some living beings by punishing them. Like when Krishna one time understood that the Kalia snake has taken shelter of Yamuna And because of his presence, even the birds flying in the sky are getting fainted and falling in the river. And the covered boys who drank water from the river, they also fell down dead. Then Krishna jumped into the river. He purposefully wanted to create a turbulence in the Yamuna and show his progress to Kalia. And Kalia came out of this woods, he was so ferocious. In fact, he was so much infatuated with his false ego that he had never faced an enemy in his life. Because he has been always showing his wives how great he is. Very often he would eat some snakes, eat some fishes and show his wife, just see how powerful I am. He wanted appreciation from his wives. So his wives had never seen their husband defeated by anybody. But they were cursing in their hearts. His father is so proud and he is so venomous all the time. But when Krishna jumped into the Yamuna lake and Kalia, when he saw this small blue baby, was wondering how dare this small baby is coming into my waters without knowing that this is my domain. He became so angry. Then with his big hoots he came out, started curling Krishna. And Krishna was apparently trapped in the curls of Kalia at the beginning. But then later on, he did that in order to increase the love of his devotees who were standing at the shore, who were in great anxiety shouting, "Krishna, Krishna, please come back." And then Krishna came out of the curls, expanding his body, jumped on the hoots of Kalia and started practically smashing. He started dancing in Bharatanatyam and the hoots of Kalia. And the demigods saw this, they all became jubilant. They all came with their instruments, Gandharvas and Vijayadrasya. All of them came with their Mridangam, Karthal, different kinds of instruments and started playing and showering flowers on Krishna. They were enjoying. So the demigods were enjoying and the demon Kalia was miserable. Because every time Krishna's foot would touch the feet of Kalia, it was like a thunderbolt hitting, cracking his head, and a lot of poison and vomit would emanate from his mouth. The gopis, in their prayers, they tell Krishna, "My dear Krishna, your feet are so soft and so rosy that when you walk in the forest, you are so much in anxiety that the pebbles may cut your lotus feet. How are the lotus feet able to tolerate the pebbles on your way while going for herding the cows?" But the same soft, pinkish lotus feet of Krishna were acting like thunderbolts on the head of Kalia. That is why they said, as soft like a rose and as hard as a thunderbolt. So Krishna can act like this. So because Kalia happened to be a demon, Krishna acted as a thunderbolt for him. And for the same Krishna for devotees, when Yashoda and other covered mothers, when they take Krishna in their hands, Krishna would melt like soft butter in their hands. But for Kalia, he was like thunderbolt. So, although he was a thunderbolt, ultimately, Kalia was completely humbled. Kalia's wife, Nagapatni, when they were observing Kalia, they could very clearly see that Kalia's face had become very, very humble. Initially, they told Krishna, "Kill him. He's such a venomous snake. They've been causing so much disturbance to so many people." They never bothered that they are our husband. But they thought he is against Krishna. He has to be killed. But then they observed that in Kalia's face there were symptoms of humility. They saw that. Immediately they told Krishna, "Now he has become humble. Please release him." Then after he became humble, he bowed down to Krishna. And when Kalia was being so defeated, Kalia was observing the Nagapatni is wonderfully praying, offering prayers to Krishna, and he was listening to them. The greatest important point in this pastime is that Kalia was listening to the prayers of his wife when he was being thoroughly smashed by Krishna. So when a person is smashed by Krishna and he is being frustrated, and at that time when he hears, his hearing is the most powerful. When a person is in normal good condition, he is leading a very happy life. Because I'm getting good food, good shelter, good clothing, and I have no diseases in the body, nothing to worry. You preach any amount of Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, nothing will go into the head. But when a person is being smashed and ripped apart, there he gets the best consciousness to hear the Krishna Kata. So he heard. Actually, Kalia, it was not new for him, because day in and day out his wives are devotees constantly blessing Krishna. They had no other business. But all those times when he heard, it would go from one ear and go out of another ear. It never entered his heart. But this time when he heard, everything entered into his heart completely. And then after they finished the prayers, then Kaliya bowed down to Krishna and said, now I also want to offer you prayers. And he offered the same prayers, because he heard them with great intensity. And he offered the same prayers to Krishna. So, see the beauty of Krishna. On one hand, the Nagapatnis offered prayers and Krishna accepted and showered a lot of mercy on them. On the other hand, we see that husband, who was the big rascal Kaliya, who was causing so much trouble to so many people, Krishna smashed Kaliya and made him understand his proper position. And then, because he humbled himself, Krishna forgave him and offered his mercy. So, ultimately, you see, in both the cases, both the people got mercy. What is the difference? They got mercy according to their position. One was a devotee, one was a demon. So Krishna showered mercy spontaneously on one, and on the other Krishna smashed in order to make him realize his position. In the same way, in this world when Krishna comes, he comes to re-establish the principles of religion. So Duryodhana had multiple times of soldiers as the Pandavas had. But Krishna wanted to establish this principle that if devotees are even a very small band of devotees, even if they are very small, still, if I am on their side, devotees will win. And on the other side, the Kauravas are so many, and they were on the side of Adharma, and Krishna defeated them completely. And Krishna also wants to prove that he is supremely independent. Sometimes, Krishna follows the scriptures, whatever he gives, and follows the law books. Sometimes he purposefully doesn't follow the law codes to show his swaraj nature, supremely independent nature. And in order to satisfy his devotees, Krishna can take any role. Like Krishna dances with the gopis, because gopis pray to Krishna. When Krishna delivered them from the Bhaumasura's palace, 16,000 gopis, he told them, now I have released all of you, so you all go back home and be happy with your parents. They said, Krishna, who will marry us? We have been already once brought by Bhaumasura, nobody will accept us. But we all have been praying that you should become our husband. This is that, okay, never mind. I accept all of you as my wives. Only Krishna can do that. If you are given an offer like that, you may have to think for a year or two. Even after thinking, you will never come to a proper conclusion whether you can marry 16,000 wives and maintain them. Let alone maintain even one wife is so difficult in the modern times. So, Krishna, as soon as they sought an offer from Krishna, whether Krishna can accept them as his wife. Krishna immediately said, no problem. I will not only accept you as my wife, I will expand myself into 16,000 forms, and for each of you, with each of you I will live with you, and I will give you a palace as Varaka. Krishna could do that. That is the meaning of God. God is not someone who meditates to become God. Krishna never meditated to become God. When he was a child in the lap of Mother Yashoda, he was God. When he was playing with the covered boys, he killed the hundreds of demons every day, and he showed that he is God. When he was standing in the batting field of Kurukshetra, he showed his Vishwarupa Darshan. He showed he is God. So, this is the meaning of God. And God has his supremacy. So, when God does something which apparently goes against the laws of scripture, and if somebody condemns it, it is only an out of his foolishness, ignorant nature that he condemns Krishna for behaving in that way. Because Krishna would never do anything that will cause any harm to anybody. It is impossible. Krishna killed the Shishupal. What happened to him? Shishupal entered the Brahma Jyoti. Later on he was again reborn, isn't it? So every one of the demons that Krishna gives, even a demon as like Putana, what was the destination? She got the destination of being Krishna's nurse in the spiritual world. Krishna cannot cause any harm to anybody. It is impossible for God to cause any harm to anybody. Because it is his nature to always be a well-wisher of every living entity. How is he a well-wisher? How to show his well-wishing nature to a particular living entity? That is up to him. You are nobody to suggest him. Krishna, you could have done like this. We are nobody to suggest. You can probably do so if you are a pure devotee who can make Krishna bound by your love for him. So such pure devotees can command Krishna. Krishna, I do like this. Then Krishna will narrate it to him. Because when pure devotee says something, then Krishna has to oblige. Like Prabhupada was having such a compassion. He went to America and saw New York. And he spoke to Krishna, what is this Krishna? These people are suffering like this. I want to see that all these people become devotees. And immediately Krishna transformed them into devotees. So pure devotees can order Krishna and Krishna will follow the order. But we are nobody. And when we are not devotees, then we get that doubt. Then only we get that, why did Krishna do like this? Why did he go and behave with Duryodhana like this? Why did he behave with Karna like that? So everything has a reason, if you see. Karna, he was one of the Pandavas actually speaking. And Krishna gave him an opportunity to join the side of Pandavas. But what was Karna's understanding? He said, no, Duryodhana has eaten Duryodhana's salt. How can I betray him? And all the people said, yes. What Karna is saying is very, very true. So he has actually eaten Duryodhana's salt. So he has to join hands with Duryodhana. But these foolish people do not know that Duryodhana got the salt from Krishna only. Duryodhana got the salt from ocean and ocean comes from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna, isn't it? So that nobody thinks. So when it comes to the question of your family or God, then one has to take the side of God. Like the practical example is Vibhishan. When Vibhishan was torn apart between his own brother Ravana and joining the side of God, what did he do? He joined the side of God. He understood that this Lord Rama is absolute truth, the Supreme God, and my brother is a rascal, and he is trying to enjoy the Lord's property, Sita Mata, and it is not at all befitting him. So it is against God's love. So he tried to preach to his brother. When his brother didn't hear, he said, now, Vinasha Kale, free the Buddhi. So you are doomed, my dear brother, you put a salute and enter him. He joined hands with Lord Rama. That is intelligence. So you can try, like, for example, sometimes boys, when they become devotees, they try to help parents. They chant the same rounds and they go home and tell parents, my dear mother, please chant Hare Krishna. My dear father, please chant Hare Krishna. The parents hear you preaching to them, they say, what is this? You are chanting and doing all this, you are chanting. And in the course of preaching to their parents, they become preached by them. And they also give up chanting and join hands with parents and go to movies and parties and completely get carried away. So this is Karna tendency. Karna joined hands with Duryodhana and God. He was a Pandava, one of the pure souls. If he were on the side of Pandavas, he would have had the great fortune of becoming Krishna's pure devotee and achieved the eternal association of Krishna. But foolishly he associated with a fool like Duryodhana. What happened to him ultimately? Because he was in infatuation. He thought, see, Duryodhana gave me the prestige of being a king of Angadesh. That is false ego. His false ego was infatuated. And besides that, he was thinking, Duryodhana is my intimate friend. He has given me his salt. I have eaten his food. So he joined hands with him to such an extent that he was ready to go against God's will. So by his association, he also became completely corrupt. That is why he was killed by Krishna. So ultimately, anybody on the side of Adharma, against God's side, he has to be killed. So it was practically proved by Krishna. You can see Bhishma Pitama, such a great soul. Krishna wanted to prove through such great souls like Drona and Bhishma that if they take the side of Adharma, especially against God himself, then they have to suffer very terrible consequences. So within the Shastras, things which are acceptable to you, things which are not acceptable to you, whatever it is, when Krishna does, one has to understand that it is on an absolute plane. And activity in absolute plane may be difficult to explain always. But although you may not be able to explain properly, still it is for one's good. There are so many stories to explain that how whatever Krishna does is for good. You know the story of the king who lost his finger, isn't it? Ultimately it was for his good. Although he thought, why is God making me suffer? Then when he went to the forest, he was saved because of that one lost finger. Otherwise he would have been killed by those tribals. In the same way, Krishna does so many things to so many people. He does not do the same thing to everybody. It's not that everyone in this world is a devotee and Krishna does the same thing to everybody. Krishna gives different treatment to different people. Even to devotees, he doesn't treat all devotees alike. According to the advancement of a devotee, he deals with different devotees differently. Some devotees are very attached. Krishna puts them in a test and frustrates them and teaches them a good lesson to become free from that attachment. Some devotees are very detached. Krishna gives them bliss and joy. So Krishna deals with different devotees differently according to their nature. So if a person is intelligent, he should understand that whatever Krishna has done in the Shastras is absolute, it's correct. Whatever he is doing in my life is also absolute and correct. And as far as the discrepancy between his words and actions are concerned, we are nobody to follow his, imitate his actions at any time. It's impossible. If you want to imitate, first we have to think of imitating how he married 16,000 wives, how he lifted gold and said, how his one sense is capable of performing the activities of other senses. We should try to do those things if we ever can do that. And if we cannot do that, then why should we imitate other activities? And imitating activities can never be considered following. Following means following the order which you hear with your ears. The spiritual master, he knows the instructions of Krishna, as Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna never, you see Krishna telling Arjuna that like I dance with the gopis in Rathalila, you also do Dandera later on. He never tells that. Does he ever say? Now people are doing Dandera in India, you see boys and girls dancing. Krishna in Bhagavatam, he ever says that? Yeah, along with all this, Sarvadharma and Sarvadharma Jataka, he says, you also dance Dandera. He says that ever. So people are doing that. People are imitating Krishna. How can it be considered following? But they don't follow the instructions of Krishna. Krishna says, Karmanyaiva Adhikarasya. They say, yes, Krishna has given us order for working. But he says, Mahaphala Yukadasana, you are not entitled to actions. Are they giving the fruits to Krishna? They are not. So, even sometimes one cannot even understand Krishna's words directly. One needs the guidance of the expert spiritual master, who is leading a pure life of Krishna consciousness, who can give us proper guidance, how to understand these things. In fact, when we come to spiritual life, in the beginning we have a tremendous rebellious attitude against Krishna being supreme. Because we have come to this world to become like Krishna. We wanted to be the enjoyer. Prabhupada says, when one wants to become an enjoyer, he is wondering, what is this, I am alone, and nobody is considering me an enjoyer. Just wait for some time, when I become 30 years, then he says, now I have a wife, because I am earning money. Then he marries a wife and he says, this wife is my dasi, she will be my servant. So now I have got a servant, I need some subjects to rule over. Now I have subjects, and I have a dasi, and now I have become a king, I am the king of the house. And somehow or other, by the will of providence, he doesn't get children. Then he brings some cats and dogs and parrots and keeps them at home, and considers them as his subjects. So in this way, everyone is trying to become an enjoyer in this world. And when we see Krishna as the enjoyer, we find it difficult to tolerate. We think, what is this? And then we are trying to find why Krishna did like this. Why he do like that? And he said, Krishna married 16,108 wives. Lord, I can never do that. At least they criticize Krishna. He criticizes Krishna always. At least that they derive some satisfaction by criticizing him. That much only I can do. At least I have the mouth to criticize. We think like that. That is our great misfortune. We criticize Krishna always for everything he does, especially when we are neophytes. So we have to give up this criticizing attitude. And understand, the more we hear Krishna's glories, the more we should understand that he is the master. I am his servant. And I have to assist him in his enjoyment. So this is actually diametrically opposite to our tendency of being an enjoyer. That is why sometimes we feel it hurting to tolerate Krishna's glories. And when it too much hurts us, we go to sleep. We don't want to hear. When we talk of Krishna's glories too much, it becomes intolerable. It's like pouring molten iron in the ears. And we go to sleep. That is the best thing you can do. By going to sleep, we can completely protect the deep slumber that I will not hear Krishna's glories. That we can do. So it's not useless. So we should be able to carefully study and understand the Shastra. So you go from the first canto of Bhagavatam, when you progress, you know more and more about the greatness of the different avatars of Krishna. And then you know that they all are coming from Krishna. You understand Krishna is the origin of everything that exists. Then, to the degree you know how great is Krishna, to that degree you will appreciate his activity. You will not. Intimate well-wisher in your own life, and you appreciate Krishna in that way, and you become free from the propensity for sense enjoyment, to that degree you will begin to appreciate Krishna's mysterious activities. That is why he says, Janma Karma Chane Divyam, Yevam Yoga Chitaputana, Chakta Devam Sunat Janma, Naiti Maane Tiswarjana. He says, my activities are not easy to understand in truth, Tattvatara. But somehow or other, if one understands them in truth, then he says they have no punarjanma. So he'll come back to me to the spiritual world. So to go to spiritual world, one has to
understand Krishna's activities to be completely divya, transcendental. In elsewhere, Krishna says, Pratyama Vijanati, Yavan Nishchasni, Tattvataka. Same word he uses there, Tattvataka. So there he says, through the path of bhakti alone, can one understand me in Tattva. Here what he says, Janma Karma Samaya Divya, Yavam Yoveti, Tattvataka. That means, by taking this slow through the first consideration, what is the corollary? Through the performance of pure devotional service alone, can one understand Krishna's Janma and Karma. Then one can understand Krishna in Tattvata, in actuality. So we have to go on performing this Krishna consciousness, chanting, hearing, associating with non-envious devotees. So gradually we can become free from this envy of Krishna. In fact, if you read Krishna book, if you finish the book, you will understand a lot of things which I am speaking here. How there were people who were envious of Krishna, like Paundraka, or how there were, what's his name? That gorilla, Javida. You read those pastimes, by repeatedly reading them, we have become free from envy for Krishna. So, that is the only way, constant hearing. Hare Krishna. Any question? Yes, everything is positive. Is there any doubt in that? We are also Krishna, but we are minor Krishna, minor part and part of Krishna. We are part. We are all expansions of Krishna only, but we are minded parts and parts. That is why in one sense there is nothing separate from Krishna. To see something separate from Krishna is Maya. If you see anything separate from Krishna, that is Maya actually. So the souls are also minded parts and parts of Krishna. Prabhupada says, the Lord shows His ability in every way. Like He makes the biggest of the biggest, the smallest of the smallest. Like God has made big grahas. Which are so big, planets. At the same time, he can make a very small, minuscule fly, like a mosquito or some fly. So Prabhupada is asking, scientists are making big aeroplanes, can they make mosquito? So God can do either way, smallest of the smallest and biggest of the biggest he can do. In the same way, Krishna expands his minute parts and parts of, we are all expansions of Krishna. He has integrated parts and parts of who are Vishnus, and he has separated parts and parts of who are Jiva. So, in fact, in one sense, everything is Krishna, but we are parts of Krishna. We part can never claim to be the whole. That is the argument. I think we will stop here and do 5 minutes Kirtan. I have to go to Bombay today. I actually stayed there only to meet all of you for this meeting.